Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Bo Goss and Tracy Black, the First and Soul podcast. We are continuing our coaches and community tour, and we have crossed the river, drove up 565, and we are in Huntsville, Alabama today.
Yes, sir. We are 1 week removed from our fourth annual high school football media days. I know that the Huntsville schools over here do their own media days at Trash Panda Stadium, but we hope next year we'll have an offering for you guys too. But today we have traveled over to Grissom High School, and just a phenomenal campus. When we were pulling in, I was like just overwhelmed at the size of the school and how nice this place is. And we've got head coach Preston Judah. Coach, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Man, we're excited to sit down with you, Coach. I know that before we got on air, we were able to chit-chat for a little bit. What's it like to be back home? I know you grew up here. This is where you played ball. This is where, as a youth, you were running around and all that good stuff. What's it like to be home?
It's hard to put into words, man. I mean, I wake up blessed to do my job every single day. You know, I've done a couple of these already, and what I keep telling people is the opportunity to give back and contribute to the community that invested so much into me and my family. I mean, sometimes people take jobs to get the next job. This was never the next job. This was always the job, and I'm so privileged and blessed to be back home.
Well, I can tell you that just in the short time that we have chit-chatted before here, I'm excited for the Grissom Tigers. I'm excited for Coach Judah, his family, and the opportunities that both sides, your family and the Grissom Tiger fan base, will get to be a part of.
Yeah, Coach, we talked a little bit off the air there about, you know, 7A football. It is a totally different animal than any other classification in the state of Alabama, especially when you look at the competition that you get out of the south side of the state. Talk to the listeners a little bit about some of your visions and goals that you would like to bring to Grissom so that the north side of the state can start seeing a little more success like the south side has seen.
Well, and you're exactly right. I mean, the north side has been chasing the south side for a long time, and I've coached now small-time football, Prattville Christian Academy, but I coached in Prattville, Alabama, and right next to Prattville High School. So I've seen small-town South Alabama football, and obviously Birmingham is the class of everybody. But I think you got to take it in stages, right? So the first thing we've got to do is we've got to be the best team in Huntsville City Schools. And you set that as the bar and as the expectation. And then once you've achieved that, then you're trying to be the best team in the 256 area code. You go out and you try to win the region. And then obviously, ultimately, once we feel like we've done that, it's time to go down and compete with those schools in Birmingham. And we've got everything that we need to be a successful program in the state of Alabama. And that's saying a lot because 7A football in Alabama doesn't get any better than this. But you mentioned the facilities. We've got a great administration. Numbers are up. You know, enthusiasm is high. And what I want our guys to understand, we talk about it all the time in practice, I'm not shy about it, our goal is to be the premier program in North Alabama. And so we've done some things like this summer. We've done some scheduling. We hosted the 7-on-7, invited the best teams from North Alabama to compete in that. We went out and we did an OTA against Hartsell, which I think you could really make the argument they've been the premier program in North Alabama over the last 5 to 10 year stretch. And we're not going to shy away from that kind of competition. And, you know, that experience in particular, I think, was invaluable for our guys because the first drive or two, you know, it's a full scrimmage without pads. I think we were, like, a little in shock of the speed and the physicality and that Hartsell brought. And we settled in and competed really well with them for the rest of the time. And we were able to walk out and go, oh, there's no difference between them and us. And that's the goal. James Clemens and us, the only difference is the color of the jersey. We're ready to compete and we want to get after them.
I tell you what, I love that. I love that because, you know, to be the best, you got to beat the best. And in order to grow, like you're saying, that's got to be one of your biggest things that you're talking about is you're coming to a program that everybody knows has struggled for a little bit. And coming to a program and rebuilding it, you got to start from the bottom, move up. I love your enthusiasm about it. I love that how you're setting goals one at a time. How do you build that up? What are some ways that you can start from the bottom?
Well, it starts
and start building it.
Yes, sir. It starts with culture. Everything is culture, and that's really my job. And I think we've done a pretty good job of filling up staff of people that can handle the football side of it. My job's community, and my job's culture. And our first, we got five core values, and our first value, I think, is probably our most important value, and that's discipline. And how we do it here, it's kind of like a Marine Corps thing. I say something, they have a verse, or not a verse, but they have something they repeat back. So for discipline, it's commit to the process. That's what the kids say to us. And, you know, I'm not going to claim that I came up with this. I'm an Alabama guy. You know,
yeah.
Nick Saban all talks about process. Football coaches, if we're good at anything, is we're ripping off other people's good stuff. So, but the big thing is we talk about how we don't want to be outcome-oriented people. We want to be process-oriented people because football, right, it's not a perfect circle. If I drop that football five times, even if it's going to bounce five different ways. That's football and that's life. It bounces in different ways. But if I focus in on the process of dropping it, making sure that my hands are in the right place, that I'm focusing on dropping it in the same way, I can make those outcomes more reliable. And so that's what we're trying to do. I mean, we had a little scrimmage today, and one of the kids tried to reach the ball out, the ball popped out, and I blew the whistle dead, and defense was upset because they thought they should have gotten the fumble, and I'm trying to get them to understand that I blew the whistle because I don't want anybody to get hurt diving for the football, but forget about that. Who cares about that? That's an outcome. You did your process. You fit it right. You rallied to the football. You made a goal line stand. But if you're worried about the outcome, you didn't get the outcome you wanted, you're not ready for the next play. And that's what happened. We scored on the next play because we're too worried about outcome instead of process. Wins and losses are going to take care of themselves. The scoreboard's going to take care of itself as long as we're focusing in on the process of being a champion every day and focusing on details in the weight room, focusing on details on the field and the classroom, all that kind of stuff.
Wow. That's incredible. Coach, let me ask you this. So, earlier this year, we had sat down with Coach Tim Bowens over at Brooks. In his first season, he went 6-4, didn't make the playoffs, one game away. And he told us that he drove down to the Super 6 that year. And he wanted to really pay attention to Piedmont, Thompson, some of these premier programs. And then he brings back some of the stuff he saw. And then, of course, the last two seasons, they've made it to the quarterfinals 2 years in a row. What do you think, putting a judging stick against somebody like Fife up here in North Alabama, they're unbelievable program. How hard, though, is it to get the kids in your program to have that belief?
It's the hardest thing. I mean, if everybody had that belief, everybody would be Piedmont or everybody would be Fife. And it's funny you mentioned Piedmont. The last time we made the playoffs here at Grissom, when I was an offensive coordinator at Chip, it was during COVID, and we ended up having our game against Huntsville canceled. And, you know, Chip's from North Carolina, so he didn't really know anything about Alabama football. And all of a sudden, Chip got a phone call, and he walks in the office. He said, "Hey, we got an opportunity to fill our game this week." I said, "Okay, who?" And he said, "Piedmont. You know anything about him?" I said, "Yeah, I don't want to play him." But we went down to Piedmont and played a really competitive football game against them. And we actually lost that game. We treated it kind of like a scrimmage. But that was a turning point in our season to watch them and how they operated and the way they did things. And we came back. I think we ripped off three straight wins, beat Bob Jones, beat Florence, and got in the playoffs first time since 2004. The belief part is you have to harp on it every single day because – what I tell our guys is that tomorrow owes today nothing, right? We can have a really great day of practice tomorrow, but where we're at right now mentally, if we come back out tomorrow and we have a bad first drive on offense or, you know, defense blows an assignment, we go right back in that shell. And again, I think that belief comes back to what you're focusing on. And if you're focusing on really short-term controllable things like the next play, then you don't get too high and you don't get too low. You just move to the next play and you keep it going. And then belief takes care of itself because, again, you turn around and you go, "Oh, it's the fourth quarter. I didn't even know what quarter it was," right, because I'm worried about the next play. "Oh, hey, we're up by 14. That's great." Like, we're not worried about outcome. And so when we get to that, that step, I think that helps. And that's – we've made some strides in that year one, but I also want to be, you know, rational and realistic about that. We're not going to change that overnight. I mean, you're looking at, you know, outside of one or the two times in the 21st century that we've made the playoffs, you're looking at 25 years of cultural things we're going to have to clean up. And so that's why we're going to take it really, really seriously and hammer it in every day.
Say that one more time. You said tomorrow.
Oh, it's today, nothing. I told you guys before we started.
Yeah, I love it.
If coaches have anything, we got slogans. I'm not even sure they all mean something, but they sound
tomorrow
good.
Tomorrow owes today nothing. Whew, man, that's good. Hey, Coach. Let's go back. Let's rewind. At what point, or was there a moment or an experience that you knew, "I want to put the headset on. I want to become a coach.
Well, every kid grows up wanting to be an athlete. Some of us just realize pretty quickly we ain't going to be it. You know, I mean, if you meet me, you go, yep, he was never playing in the NFL. I mean, I probably have had to point to the one moment. Well, there's two moments. In high school, I tore my shoulder up heading into my senior year. I wasn't able to play. And I had a coach in John Anderson who could have very easily just let me stand on the sideline or fill up water or whatever. I mean, I could have just disappeared back into the building. But he said, hey, you want to coach JV defensive backs? I was like, yeah, sure, I can do that. So I would work with him. I did their indie drills every day, ran the scout offense. He even gave me a headset for Friday nights, which Ronnie Massey, who was our head coach, did not know about until week three when he turned around. He saw me standing next to me. He said, boy, what you doing with that on? And that was the last time I wore a headset. But, you know, I still remember some of the kids in the student section, they would chant clipboard, clipboard, because I was charting the stuff. So I really loved the coaching aspect from it from that point. But again, I always knew I wanted to be in sports, just not in what. So I went to college to be a journalism major at the University of Alabama. And I remember one night sitting on the couch with my roommate, and we were talking about how we were going to retire at 60, 65, and teach driver's ed and go coach football together. And I was like, why in the world would I wait to the tail end of my life to do the thing that I clearly really want to do? So shifted gears, got into education, started coaching right out of school, and led to here.
Awesome. Let's walk through your journey of coaching to where you are today.
Well, like I said, started in Prattville, and that was not necessarily what I was planning either. My wife is a lawyer.
Oh, Lord.
I know. Don't hold it against me. She's one of the good ones. I got to deal with her mental legal pad when I go home, though. I average what I talk about sometimes. But, no, she's a federal prosecutor. But she went to law school at Jones School of Law at Faulkner. And I was actually my dad worked for Buffalo Rock, and I needed a job. And so he got me on a truck slinging drinks. And the general manager happened to be his son was the or his dad, I'm sorry, was the athletic director at Prattville Christian Academy. So started teaching and coaching there. And, you know, that first year, I was always told, you know, coach whatever they tell you to. They say, hey, we want you to coach water polo. You say, I love water polo. It's my favorite sport. And then you go home and Google it, right? So I coached football. I coached wrestling. I never wrestled. And I coached baseball for the first year. And I always just wanted to coach football. It went down to two sports because I told my AD, I said, I can keep coaching three sports or I can keep being married. I would really like to be married. So coached football and baseball there for 4 years. Year two, my head coach, Chris Jones, who's coached up here in this area for a while, he's actually retired, he's a minister now, but we were down at UAB for 7-on-7, and I was just coaching receivers, and was one of those 7-on-7s who was supposed to bring a helmet, and the other team didn't bring a helmet, so we went no helmets, and one of our kids cracked noggins against somebody else, so he had to leave and go to the hospital. I took over play call, and he came back about 3 hours later, and we were in the championship game. I went to hand him the playbook back. He goes, nah, it's yours. So started coordinating there. 4 years at Prattville Christian Academy, I was sitting at a coaching clinic in Montgomery, and I saw Chip English, who had just been announced as the head coach at Grissom. He was at the clinic, and I just was like, I want to go home. So I went and started up a conversation with him. He called me a couple weeks later, came up, started as the receivers coach. First year, second year, worked with Chip to call plays. By year three, I was the OC there. In year four, I took a job with Lee High School as the associate head coach and offensive coordinator over there, a chance to work with Urban McGuire, different environment. I always wanted to be the head coach here, but somebody told me one time that to come home, you got to leave, right? Yeah. You know, and so spent 4 years, totally different environment, invaluable experience for me over there the last 4 years. And then when this opened up this year, you know, I think I probably was the first application in. Yeah. and then got hired, started right in the building right after spring break, and we've been running ever since.
Shoot, yeah. You know what I love about this story, Coach? He saw Chip English at a 7-on-7 and went to talk to him. I mean, he wants something, he goes and gets it.
Well, I'm going to give, because she'll probably listen to this and she'll get on me about it too, but I'm going to give my wife some credit there too, because I definitely texted her first and I said, hey, the new Grissom coach is here. And she goes, you need to go talk to him. And I was like, I don't want to, I'm scared. She said, you better go talk to him. So I'm not going to take the credit for the courage on that one. That came from my wife.
So is your wife, Miss Judah, is she from this area as well?
Well, she was. She lived here about fourth grade year, and then they moved to California. And then they moved back her senior year. So she's... she can slip into her California lingo just as easily as she can say y'all. So it's, yeah, it's hard to pinpoint her.
Yeah. That's awesome. Is she a real estate attorney?
No. She's a prosecutor. You see her, she's either here on Friday nights or you've messed up. So.
No. Let me ask you this. No doubt you're an offensive guy. What style of defense do you like?
So what we've gone to, and again, this kind of pairs into the talk about I want us to think about ourselves as a premier program. When I went into hiring people, I'm not just trying to hire people from the area or whatever. I mean, I spent probably two and a half months on hiring. But our defense coordinator, Jared Holly, spent the last 4 years at Hartzell, and that's where we got the OTA with from them. And they run 3-3 stack defense. And what I wanted is something that could be multiple, something that was physical, and something that was an attacking defense, but still gap sound. And that's what the 3-3 stack is. And if you look at Hartzell, and this is no knock at Hartzell, Coach Holly told me the same thing, and I was like, oh, okay, sure. And then we went down and I saw it. You're not going to look at Hartzell from the sideline and go, wow, that's a bunch of world beaters.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Their coach said the same thing.
Coach Newton said the same thing.
And I talked to Coach Newton for a long time, and they were really gracious to work with us, and it was awesome because, you know, we could kind of see the model of what the 3-3 stack looks like because they've been doing it for a long time. We were able to look at film and compare and contrast. So it was a great experience for us. Coach Newsom's a great guy. But I think, personally, I mean, we've got this, again, no knock at Hartzell because they're very good. I think we've got better athletes here. So if we could, you know, the principles and the techniques and the attacking nature of that, if we could take that and use our athletes in the same scheme, I thought it could be really dangerous. And it's been really good. I mean, I think we gave up one score to Hartzell at the OTA, but we also might have only given up one pass that was completed in the OTA. And the thing is, though, somebody told me this long ago, and I think it's true, technique is so much more important than scheme. Every scheme that's ever been invented has won a championship. It's how you teach it. And Coach Holly is a great tactician. I mean, our guys, we're not even in fall camp really yet, and I think they've got a really good grasp of what it is we're trying to do. We just got to bring the physicality now next with it.
I have noticed, and I've told Tracy this a couple times, I've noticed several schools over the years, they've moved to a 3-3.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's why it's so versatile.
Well, it's versatile at every level, right? Because, I mean, you can bring a fourth guy down. You can bring guys from all sorts of positions. You got those spur rovers, those overhangs that can drop in coverage. We can go to a 3-high shell. We can roll to a 2-high shell. We can stay 1-high. And you never have to really – the box stays the same. You're not breaking the box. So that stays static. So you can be aggressive and attacking without messing up your structure too much.
That's right. I love it.
Man.
I love it. When you talk about, you know, coming in and changing the defense to a different scheme, and offensively, you're changing all that up as well?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How hard is that to come to a school that has done this for so long and then, hey, guess what, guys?
Well, good and bad, I guess, here. Talking to the coaches that have been on staff, they're kind of used to it because they've changed schemes about every other year here.
Yeah.
And that kind of goes with having a bunch of different coaches over the last two decades. You got to be intentional on how you teach it. And you got to spend, you know, I've always been told you got to show them a clip first. And then you got to get on a board and show them with a marker, and then you got to get on the field and you got to rep it. And then you got to film everything, get as many reps as you can. Don't coach at practice, coach on the fly, get the film, fix it tomorrow, and then go the next day. And again, that goes with the buy-in. And the thing with guys, with high schoolers in particular, all of us are humans, believe this, but high school boys in particular, you got to show them the connection between what I'm telling you and like the end result. The positive thing that's going to come out of it. And so you have to have success at practice, and you've got to, it's really hard as a coach, but you got to try to script it so that both sides have a chance to be successful so they can see it's working, and then you move into the next day and build the next thing. But you just got to be intentional how you script it and, you know, not try to do too much at one time and we're going to get good at this, and then we're going to move to this.
Yeah, and he hit the nail on the head earlier about the buy-in, and that's huge on doing anything like that. I'm going to shift gears for just a second, Coach. Huntsville is a beautiful city. I mean, you've got the mountains in the background. It's a gorgeous place. And this is home for you. This is where you went to school, where you played. Let me ask you, if there was a couple that came to you and they've got a son that wants to play football and they're thinking about relocating to the area, what is some of the things that you would say to them why you feel Grissom is the place that they should call home?
Well, there's a couple things. First, I'd let them read that article from like 2 years ago that said Huntsville was the best place to live in America, right? And it is, without question. I'm biased. I'll admit it. I grew up, you know, about 3 miles away from this school and lived most of my life in this area. But Huntsville is a big city that doesn't feel big. It's a big city that doesn't feel big. There's everything that you need, but particularly in South Huntsville, it's such a close, tight-knit community of blue-collar people who come to work every day. They want their kids to do the right things. Huntsville City Schools, you know, is a tremendous school system with great leadership. Dr. Sutton, who's our superintendent, he's been the superintendent for the last couple of years, and I think the school system's on a really upward-moving trajectory under him, not just in academics, but athletics. They're doing a lot, making a lot of changes to make the full package of your high school career, you know, successful here. So we've got great administration, we've got great leadership. It's a wonderful place to live. And then as far as Grissom in general, I mean, you're not going to find a better school in North Huntsville, or not North Huntsville, I'm sorry, North Alabama, that's where you're going to be able, once we get the football thing rolling here, and we've had success in other sports. I mean, if you look at Grissom athletically, baseball's been very good in the past. Soccer, you know, our boys went to the state championship game this past year. Wrestling, we've got a ton of wrestling state championships. Coach Doss, who's our head basketball coach, is probably like the best high school basketball coach in, you know, Alabama state history with how many state championships he's won. But you're going to get a great athletic experience with a coaching staff that takes care of your children and makes sure that they're growing up not just to be good athletes, but the best young men that they can be. And then academically, Grissom, I mean, there are not many schools that stand up as far as what Grissom does athletically, too. So we're going to build well-rounded young men who are going to be tremendous contributors to their community. And we're going to be pretty good at football going forward.
I tell you what, the word consistency, you seem like a guy that word means a lot to you.
One of our five core values is consistency.
Oh, so, it is?
Yes, sir.
Oh, man. You can tell just by, you know, listening to you, getting to know you, that being consistent. And that's probably one of the issues that's been is the consistency. You just said it seems like every other year something, another change.
Sure.
Another change. So I look forward to seeing you build this up with consistency to be successful. I think that's a great recipe.
Yes, sir.
I'm looking forward to it for sure. Let's talk about, Coach, at one point, somebody's made an impact on you. Somebody has helped mold you to who you are today. And I know as a head coach, the one that puts the headset on, every day these kids mean the world to you. And that's what your ultimate goal is. And that's what all coaches are in it for, the right reasons. They know their why, and they know their mission.
Well, you said it earlier. You said, who was your Coach Judah? And my first Coach Judah was Coach Judah. It was my dad, you know. He was my coach all through growing up. And, you know, he coached everybody the same way, except for me. He coached me harder. And the only person he coached harder than me was my brother Grant. But he, you know, you talk about consistency as a role model, getting up. You know, he was typically gone before we woke up in the morning, going to work, working all day, and coming home. And if I said, hey, Dad, can we go down to the park and hit some balls? Sure. You know, and yeah. I remember my first year coaching baseball, throwing BP for an entire team of baseball players. I got off the field, like the first guy I called was my dad, and I said, hey, if I never said thank you for throwing BP for all those years, thank you, because my arm is killing me, right? So when you talk about a guy, if football coaches, we want to be that model of consistency, always being there and dependable and reliable for our players. That was my dad. And, you know, now being a coach and seeing that that's not always the case, that's our challenge and our mission as coaches, that when that kid walks in the building, he gets the same me every day. You know, and every kid gets the same me every day. So my dad is probably the first, and then the second is John Anderson, like we talked about. And again, a guy that just cared about his players. And John unfortunately passed away last year, and his funeral, I've never seen a church more jam-packed. And just all guys that had played for him, you know. the ability to resonate with that many people for such a long stretch of time says a whole lot about a guy, and John was that guy.
Yeah. Wow. I could see the listeners, the emotion that Coach Judah has right now for somebody who's made such an impact in his life. Coach, what's it like knowing that you're doing that for young men now?
Coaching, this profession, you got to hold on to the good moments. You know, there's so many ups and downs that come from coaching. You know, there's going to be days where you know you resonate with a guy, and there's going to be days where you go, I really wanted to chokeslam that guy.
Yeah.
You know, and to not allow those emotions to kind of get into you. It's not the path I ever really thought I was going to be on, but it's the most rewarding job that you can possibly have. And the most rewarding moments are when the guys that you coached 5-6 years ago, you see them in public, and like you just you stand off and you talk to each other about practices from 5-6 years ago for 30 minutes, and then finally your wife says, "Hey, we got to go home." Right? But you know what I mean? Like it's those moments that really you kind of keep coming back to it. And it's also important to keep that in mind every day, the kind of impact. And you don't know it. Like I mean, I'm just here. I'm just at practice. To me, it's just a job. But you have to always keep in mind that to you, it's a job. To them, you're an important figure in their life. And I think the best coaches are the ones that can always kind of keep that frame of reference.
I want to back up. You said a minute ago one of your core values. What are the five core values?
So it's discipline, and it's funny you said it, because like the first time I was on camera doing an interview and I was slightly nervous, I brought up core values and she asked me the same question, and I got to the fourth value and I blanked and I was like, uh-oh. So here we go. Discipline, toughness, consistency, selfless, and family. Those are our five values, and those I think really just embody everything that a good program should be.
Tell us a little bit on that last core value, family. Tell us what that means.
So family, when I say family, they say love each other. And it's funny, they like to break it down on we're all we got, we all we need. I'm like, all right, well then stop treating each other like that, right? If we're all we got, then we got to be together. And for us, family is not just our team, and it is. I mean, the family is a brotherhood, but it's anybody that contributes or, you know, invests into the Grissom Tiger program as a part of our family, and that means the larger community is as a whole. And so we try to really take that seriously. On Wednesday, I think, you know, band is out here doing band camp, and they're out here marching all daggum day in the heat. And so we came right off the football field, and we brought popsicles and Gatorades to the band, right? Because the idea is they're just as big a part of Friday nights as we are. And we see them out there working hard for us. We want to make sure we're taking care of them. And so that's really what we're trying to do, and trying to teach them that love is a manly emotion. You know, it's not just the relationship, boy, girl, I love you kind of relationship. But love is a manly emotion because it takes not just devotion to another person, but the ability to hold other people accountable is also a kind of a symptom, not a symptom, but it's a sign of love. And right, you know, it's again, it ties back into my mission's not just to win football games, it's to make good young men for this community, because this is my community. You know, my daughters are going to grow up in this community. I want, you know, young men who have a good concept of what love means. So that's really what we focus on with that.
Yeah. Man. Dude, the passion that you show, Coach Judah, I am so excited for the South Huntsville area in this community.
Hopefully it all pays off. So
it will.
Yeah.
I got a question. I don't know if you've been asked this, but I'm going to ask it. Are you nervous? Are you nervous knowing that, 3 weeks from now, 4 weeks from now, first game at your home school where you graduated,
yeah,
at 6:58 that Friday night, you're going to slide that headset on as the first time as a head coach, but it also be for the Grissom Tigers?
You know, I wasn't until you framed it like that. Now I'm a little bit.
My bad, Coach.
No, you're good. No, I think, you know, if my players ask, no, right, because process-oriented, I'm focused on the next practice, on the next thing, and kickoff's just the next thing on the checklist. But as a human, yeah, sure, of course you are. You know, I said it, and I don't even know where the reference came from, but in an AL.com article they did, I said I pushed all my chips in on orange and brown. And when I said it, I went home. I was like, oh, man, I really have, haven't I, right? And this is my community, which is great because I've got those community connections and people that I can invest back into and we can invest into. But it also means that on Saturday morning when I go to the grocery store, if we lay an egg, I'm going to hear about it. Yeah. But if it was easy, it wouldn't be any fun, you know? And just like playing in 7A in the state of Alabama, we want the highest level of challenge that we can give ourselves. So hopefully, you know, not just me, but our guys will thrive off of that challenge, and it'll pay off in wins and losses in the fall.
Coach, let me ask you this. We talked about this earlier as well. The Huntsville City Schools share a football stadium. There's three different places that you can play. How difficult, or is it difficult, to do that on a weekly basis when you have a home game? And how difficult is that scheduling with all the other coaches? Who does that?
So we meet, and you know, this is new to me too, but we meet, and I guess we met maybe in March or April with the city athletic director, Mac Howard, who's tremendous, and he's a football guy, and he's doing a lot of the changes that you're seeing in high school athletics in the city of Huntsville can be attributed to Mac Howard, and I'm excited that we've got him. But we meet with all five head coaches, and we sit down and we kind of go, all right, what's your schedule, which stadiums are, you know, available. I mean, sometimes we got to play on Thursday nights because the stadiums aren't available on Friday nights. And but all the coaches, I think, work pretty well together. You know, we're all kind of in the same boat together, and we want each other to be successful. And so, for instance, what was really important to me was, if we can't have a home stadium on campus, we need to have a place that feels like home. And so I was able to secure with Mac that Joe Davis is going to be our de facto. We'll play all of our home games there with the exception of Huntsville, because we got to keep the crowd separate just in case somebody gets a little antsy on that Friday night, right? But so our guys,
it's a big game.
It's a big game. Yeah, it's a big game. Yeah. So it's the game. So I think I saw on Facebook that our city council or our district school board rep said that I could lose every game as long as I won that one. So I'm going to get her to put that in writing, I think, for me, just in case. But no, it's
well, I can remember, not to try to interrupt you, Coach, I can remember when they announced, when the Grissom Tigers welcomed Preston Judah to their family as the head coach, I remember some of the comments. As long as we beat Huntsville.
That's it.
As long as we beat Huntsville.
Well, you know, it's Alabama and Auburn, you know. Like, I think Hugh Freeze is probably in trouble, but if he beat this year, you know, but if he wins six or seven games and he still beats Alabama, he might be okay, you know. So yeah. It's one of those, but it's important for our guys to have a sense of home. And, you know, we've got tremendous facilities here. Y'all are sitting in our weight room and you can see it. And we want our guys to be proud of the facilities that we have here. And this is really our home. But when we go to those games on Friday nights, it needs to feel like home. Now, the one benefit of not playing on campus is that away games are a little easier, because our guys are used to the process. If we're going to get on the bus, we're going to eat pregame meal early enough so that we can get to the stadium on time, so that we can get wrapped and all that stuff. So it does make the away travel a little bit easier. So the goal is just for us to try to make those home games feel as much like a home game as we can.
I didn't even think about that. That would be, you know, a lot of people don't have to get on the bus as many times as y'all do. Y'all got to do it every week.
Every single week, yeah. It's just easier to go over to Joe Davis than it is Brawley Stadium in Florence. It's a shorter ride. But, you know, it's like anything else. I mean, it's not necessarily what you want, but it's what you got. So you better figure out how to deal with it and make it as the best that you can. And I think our guys do a pretty good job of that.
Coach, your final thoughts. Your final thoughts to the listeners. Who is Coach Preston Judah? Who do you want to be remembered as? And what are you looking forward to most about the 25 season?
That is a big question.
I know it's a big question.
No, it's okay. I don't know. I think this has always been true. I think, I hope of me in my career, is that I'm a relationships coach, a players coach. And I think sometimes the term players coach gets a bad rap, right? You think that's the guy that's like always coddling the kids and not necessarily holding them accountable. That's not what I mean. We're going to be a program that holds our kids accountable, because as I mentioned earlier, love is holding people accountable. But I'm always going to prioritize relationships with our players first. And if I'm remembered for that, you know, that's kind of that process thing. We build the kind of culture where people want to be here. They want to be excited about being Grissom Tigers. We're creating that youth program where kids from the age of 5 want to put on orange and brown. I think the wins and losses take care of themselves from that. to my coaches, I want to be a coach that, you know, that takes care of them and makes sure that we're promoting their growth and their careers and what they want to do. Because good coaches are happy coaches are good coaches. And then I hope that what we can be is a program, not just me, but what I hope is our program is a program that reaches back into the community, invests back into the community. We've got our community outreach programs called hashtag Team 21, which again, I ain't come up with that. I stole that from Bixby, a high school in Oklahoma, who's a tremendous program. But what it basically boils down to is I know for the 3 hours that I have you, you're going to be a good human being who follows our five core values, because I'll just up-down you if you're not. But who are you the other 21 hours of the day? And that's when you're a true reflection of our program. And so we've done some things already. We went and we volunteered at the Special Olympics track and field meet that they had in like April. We worked with Operation Green Team with Huntsville City to clean up and beautify some of the parks, picking up trash. This Saturday, our leadership team is actually going to go and work with an organization called Sleep in Heavenly Peace that builds beds for people who don't have them.
I'm part of that organization.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. And that, I mean, I was a missions coordinator for a couple of years before I got into coaching. So that's a big part of me and what I, you know, I want us to be. But I want Grissom football to be a group where just don't expect the community to give things to us or to be a part of us. We're going to do the legwork, you know, so that from Airport Road all the way down to the Tennessee River, from, you know, Hazeland back here all the way to Bailey Cove, that's truly Tiger Country, and our community feels the love reciprocated back to them.
Wow. One thing that I can say beyond a shadow of a doubt is Coach Judah may be the best as far as representing a game plan for a program and a community. One thing that I know for sure, in addition to building some great football teams and football players, he's going to be producing a lot of great coaches and great men.
And also producing a great community.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's really all about.
Yep. Yes, sir.
That's really what it's all about.
Yes, sir.
He said at the very beginning, he's process driven. And you can tell.
Mm-hmm.
You can absolutely tell. And Tracy, I'm going to tell you something real quick. Tomorrow don't care about what happened today.
I don't owe it nothing.
There you go. You got it. We're going to make some T-shirts. Get you out some T-shirts with it. Yes, sir.
For sure. Well, Coach, I will tell you on behalf of First and Soul, and behalf of everybody listening, thank you. Thank you for your process-driven mind. Thank you for your passion. Thank you for opening up to us, letting us see your emotion, and just thank you for what you're doing for the youth and for the community. And I look forward to seeing you very successful.
Yes, sir. Thanks for coming down and talking with us about the Tigers. Appreciate you.
Go Tigers.
That's it.
And I look forward to, also, before we sign off, I look forward to talking to you on a weekly basis about, you know, players of the week and that good stuff.
So, yes, sir.
All right. You guys, that's Coach Preston Judah with the Grissom High School Tigers. We'll talk to you next week.